All right, so just doing a wee sound test just to check everything's all good. And I just want to start off and I want to say thank you for the opportunity and the privilege just to be able to share part of my journey with you guys. And so as I share today, this is part of my testimony in a way of what God has been doing in my life, even just, you know, even recently, seeing God, God work. But today I'm bringing in the my testimony along with the vision that, you know, Grace, ta-da! There's my first faux pas, you can say something. Anyway, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ has brought into this fellowship, of the mission statement that is wanting to be, it's not just something that we hear, but it's something becoming of who we are, this mission that we're looking at. And so today, last week Stephen shared, and today in a way I'm just carrying on a little bit, you know, like of what he was talking about and just taking us on. And so bear with me if I am slow or anything, or I'm too long, or whatever this looks like. But anyway, and bear with me because technology is not my strong point. So I've got, there it is. And I didn't even push a button. How about that? Technology is not my part, but thank you to Stephen who actually created the slides with the word, you know, the scriptures that I've got to share. So today we're talking about, this is carrying on from our why, and the part that I'm actually sharing, I guess my testimony is about we breathe life. Okay, and I'm just going to do a wee practice here. Oh, where am I pointing this? Anywhere I like. Okay, all right. I did. Oh, there we go. Ta-da. So this is it, we breathe life. Okay, so just to start off with John 20, and you know, Dave read off before this is our why, and on the, oh, okay, I'm too quick, I've got the wrong scripture. This is John 20, all right. So, yeah, Stephen shared this scripture last week, but I thought it would be good to share it again, that Jesus breathed on the disciples, and it says, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And we're Jesus' disciples as well. He spoke to his disciples, but this is also, he's speaking to us. He said, as the Father has sent me, so am I sending you. And so this breath that Jesus is sending, we're talking about that, this is breathing life. He breathed life into his disciples, and this is the reviving life of Jesus. And each one of us have received that reviving life of Jesus. And he said to you, peace be with you. This is kind of cool because he said, I'm sending you. And he says, I'm sending you out in the world. But he's saying, he's saying, peace be with you. This is not, you know, I'm not sending you, you know, because this is going to be a horrible thing. He said, I'm sending you. And he says, I want you, my peace to be with you. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. And this is great, isn't it? Because we need God in this. You know, we can only do a very little, but with God, it changes things. With God, he is equipped. The word that God gives us carries everything we need to equip us for that which he has called us to. It's in his word, and his word is alive and it's powerful. And so we think, well, I can't do it. But actually, the word of God can. The word of God that is in us. And so, as Christ breathed in us, now we're saying we breathe life, all right? But as we breathe life, we need to know that actually we have received life. We have received life from Christ. Now I can go on to my next scripture, which is, John 10:10. And it says, Jesus said, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance. To the full, till it overflows. Now, this is actually, you can see at the top, AMP. That stands for Amplified Version, and I'm a bit of an Amplified girl, so a few of these scriptures are going to be from the Amplified Bible. And part of this is because, you know, some of the words, the scripture, they've gone back and they've looked at what does the original Greek and Hebrew mean, and so it gives us sometimes a little bit more of that. And I love this when it says, and you shall have it in abundance till it overflows. It's going to be, when God does this, it's not just what we need. There's going to be this overflowing that we know there's going to be outpoured through us. Now, to breathe life, which I just said, we also need to have received life, okay? And which we did. Where did we receive life? Okay, we did receive life at conception. I'm thinking possibly a little bit further on from there. Where else did we receive life? Well done. No. Okay, yeah. Marlene, yes, I remember, yes, at the cross. And at the cross, what happens is we got taken out of the kingdom of darkness and into his glorious light. Okay, now I'm just going to pause there for half a minute while somebody quickly grabs me the whiteboard that I'm going to write on very shortly. That's great. Thank you, George. Okay, so we've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness into his light. So when we accepted Jesus, this is when we received his life. That's what he said. He said, I've come that you may have life and have it in abundance. And so therefore, there's going to be streams of living water that are going to flow out of us, all right, because that's the overflow. Now, when we received Christ, because of the cross, there was an exchange that happened, all right? Now, this exchange, we might not necessarily see it in the natural, but it's in the spirit realm. And when this exchange happens, Jesus actually gives us everything of who he is, all right? And everything that he has, okay? And so when we receive that, we call this positional truth. Now, when I say positional truth, that might think, well, gone right over my head, but it's actually talking about the position that God has made for us, that Christ has made for us. And in, I just did the blank thing by mistake. In Revive Kids, what are they doing at the moment? They're saying, who you say I am. And the kids have been told, who's you? Yes, Jesus God, who God says I am. And this is the positional truth that we're looking at. And so, you know, we could go along to, you know, not today because it's film day, but other days, you know, and actually saying who God says I am. And that's basically just, you know, the truth that God has given us. And at this exchange that is happening, we start a new journey and we begin to live in who you say I am. And so the things, yeah. So here we go. I'm going to, here is me. And just as much as I'm not good at technology, I'm not good at drawing either. All right, but this is me on my journey. All right. Okay, and on this journey, this is what I want to be built. I want to build myself and walk on the journey of who God says I am. Okay, so I'm going to build my life on. What am I going to build my life on? Anybody? Pardon? Oh, yay, the Word of God. Okay, yep, the Word of God. Okay, great. What else am I going to build my life on? Pardon? Honesty, all right, yes, so honesty, and so, yep, and so that includes honesty. Is there any other things that you can think of that I'm going to build my life on?
The fruits of the Spirit.
Oh, yes, the fruits of the Spirit. Oh, give a capital S for Spirit. All right, okay, what else am I going to build my life on? Oh, yes, the love of God. Hallelujah. Yep. Yeah, it's
sharing the gospel.
Yes, the gospel. Yep. So that's the, we'll call it the commission. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. The Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. All right, and there's probably many others, but there's one other one that I think that, you know, that we need to build our life on. And if I can give you a wee clue. Oh, we already said the Word of God. All right, sorry. All right.
Coffee.
Okay, coffee. Let's change that to worship.
Worship.
Okay. Yeah, let's go for worship. Worship in the presence of God, because you said that was better than coffee.
Yeah,
all right, so let's go with that. All right, so this is what we're doing. We're building our lives on the foundation. We're building on the foundation of the love of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay, and so this is from this place here, this is where we want to breathe life, isn't it? This is where we want to see, the life that we've got. Now, the thing about our life and our journey is actually Christ has given us all that we need, but there's other stuff that goes on, right? Okay, and we can get, and for want of a better word, my word is sideswiped. And sometimes we literally, it can just about, you know, knock us off and cause us to actually, here's Jesus. We're becoming more like Jesus along this journey, all right? Now, we can get sideswiped. And in Hebrews, I won't read it, I won't find it, but in Hebrews 12, it talks about let us laying aside every weight, every burden, every bondage, everything that entangles us and actually causes us often to get our eyes shifted away. And let's just, you know, let's just say some of these things. What else can, I mean, that's kind of one of the obvious ones that can do that. What else can actually cause us to take our eyes off this journey? Sorry?
Coffee.
Oh, now let's just keep coffee down here. Yeah. Pardon? Yes, that's right. There's a whole lot of pressures that are going on in here. Yeah, great. I've got a few thoughts, but I'm happy to. Fear. Oh, perfect. Yes, fear. All right. What else?
Temptation.
Yeah, that's right. Connected in here. Spell it. All right, you see, these are things, you know, like she was talking about these pressures. These are the things that can come in it. And so in a late relation to this, another one that I feel is quite strong is failure. It's like, you know, and we can even misinterpret our mistakes and look at them as failures, you know. So we've got fear. Another one here that can come in here is disappointment. Now, some of these things we may have actually almost like they can just sort of be sitting a little bit dormant when we come to Christ, but then other times these things can come in as we're walking along a journey. And here's another one that can hit us and sometimes sideswipe us. Grief. For those, I don't know if you can all guys see that. And then fear, anxiety. And here's another one that I think is pretty big, is shame, you know, and we can be, and actually it came up last week, Narelle had a word about this, about shame, and I know from, this is part of my testimony of what God has done in my life, I was carrying shame around and I didn't even know it. It was just there, but it was actually insidious in a way. Do you know what I mean? And shame can be a terrible taskmaster. It can make us do and act in ways and believe things that aren't actually in line with the Word of God. Okay? And so, but the good news is that we can actually come and we can actually lay aside these things, which is good news. Yes? Yes, very good news. Thank you, Dave. Yeah. All right, because in John 16, this is a great scripture, all right? And I'm going to just stand up and I'm going to read the scripture. And it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulations and trials. See some of these things that we've got up here. You have tribulations and trials and distress and frustration. But, be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, be undaunted. For, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Woo-hoo! These things have been overcome. And I love this, what it says in the Amplified. It says, I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. This is what the Word of God says. I didn't just make this up because I thought it was a good idea. This is what the Word of God says. I have overcome the world and I have deprived it of power. Amen. All right. That's good. This is good news. This is very good news. For all of us, this is good news, isn't it? Okay. Now, in Isaiah 54, it says, fear not, for you shall not be ashamed. All right, I can put a cross through here because of the work of the cross. And then, and it says you shall not be confounded. All right, because it means that we're not going to be stumbling along on here. Okay, because in Isaiah 54 it says, for the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, yet my love... Here we go. My love, the love of God, and his kindness shall not depart from you, nor his covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. All right, so we're coming in through, and as it were, almost like putting a cross through some of these things. Now God, it says here in verse 10, it says, and my covenant of peace and completedness. You know, in the New Testament it says, he who began a good work in you shall complete it. All right, now that's good news as well. We're on this journey, and it's not like, but God is going to complete this. And do you know what this journey is actually called? There's a word in the Bible that talks about this journey. Pilgrimage. And thank you, Pastor Ruth. Sanctification, which is just a word that the Bible uses that just talks about this journey of us starting here and becoming more and more like Jesus. All right. And so God is going to complete what he began. And in Isaiah 60, it says, arise, shine, for his light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Okay, now that is good news, all right, arise, shine. But to live in the light, where do our eyes need to be? Jesus. Amen. This is good. All right, to have our eyes on Jesus because he is the light of the world. And when I was up at conference a few weeks ago, they were just sharing and they were just talking about him being the light, and we reflect him. We reflect the light. And so that's part of us breathing out life, is that we're reflecting the light of Jesus. Now, in Hebrews 12, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. So it's not just, you know, us thinking this is a good idea, all right? It says in his word, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and source of our faith, and he also is its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. So that's their sanctification. But look here, for this to come to place, it's like, let's fix our eyes on him. And, you know, God has to remind us, well, he had to remind me even just, you know, this week, last week, it's like, where are my eyes? Because there's stuff that goes on around us. You know, it can be, sometimes it can even just be financial situations, or it can be stuff going on in our family, whatever this is, it's like first and foremost, God wants us to actually fix our eyes on him so that we don't make the things around us at God, because if that's where our focus is, if that's what we're doing, we're actually making that thing bigger than God. And if we're making it bigger than God, then we're making it at God. And God, he said, you shall have no other gods before me. And so when God reminded me, where are your eyes? And so I fixed my eyes on him and say, Lord, I choose you. I lift up who you are. I lift up your name over my situations. And I come under your lordship. And I come under your lordship that you will do what you will do. And, sorry, just take a breath. All right. And so because of the new covenant that God has made, it talks about in Hebrews 10, the new covenant that he has made, that we can come right into the Holy of Holies, right into that place that was only reserved, you know, where the high priest could come in. God has made a way. And in that Holy of Holies, this is what it talks about, the presence of God. That's what it says in Hebrews 10, right into the presence of God. And Jesus has made a new way for us that we can come right into the presence. And when we come into his presence, and we were talking about, we sung about it today, it's your presence. And when we come into his presence, like there's an exchange that takes place. And we can invite Jesus into every area of our lives. These areas here, these things, we can invite him to come in and make us whole. Because, you know, we can't wish these things away. Sometimes it's God like, oh, just God, I come to you. Can you take that away? Can you do this? But I, for me personally, this is where it's been for me. God has said, invite me into it. That actually he can come into my fears and my anxieties and actually begin to see him move in those places, to see these things turned around. And it may not always change everything, but who I am has changed as well. You know, and so, and I think, you know, God has reminded me too that actually when we breathe life, he doesn't want us breathing life out of these places, out of disappointment, because it's going to be a little bit short-changed. But as we begin to invite God into these places and see his strength made perfect in our weaknesses, that we can then begin to breathe, we can breathe life. Now in Isaiah 61, I've got lots of favourite scriptures, but Isaiah 61 is, you know, one of my favourite ones, because in Isaiah 61 we see exchanges taking place. You know, Jesus, you know, he spoke up, in Luke it says he spoke up and he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And he was speaking out of Isaiah 61 and he said, he has anointed me. And because of what God has done, there's an exchange that takes place, because Jesus takes our weaknesses and he gives us his strength. He says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. He takes our sicknesses and he gives us his healing. And he takes our sin and he makes us righteous. And in verse 3, it says, I won't just read it to you, you can read it as well. Here we go, in Isaiah 61, verse 3, it says, to grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion, to give them an ornament of beauty instead of ashes. And God wants us to give him his ashes. He wants us to invite him into our ashes, the things that we thought we had hopes for and they've just gone. Whatever those things are, God wants us to invite him. He wants us to invite him into those ashes so that the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a heavy, a burdened, and a failing spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. This is the work of God in our lives, but we need to invite him into that and ask him to be part of every part of our lives. And, you know, just thinking, you know, before things got so modern, you know, transactions took place. When somebody was buying something, buying land, there was a transaction that happened. You didn't just do it on technology somewhere, but that actually you connected with somebody, all right, and you shook hands with them. You actually looked them in the eye and you made this transaction. And it's a little bit like the same with us, with God. He wants us to look him in the eye, that we see him. And do you know what? Jesus has already paid his, he's paid the price. He has signed his part of the transaction by dying on the cross for us. But we need to live in that which he has given us. We need to be on this journey of living of what he has done for us. So we need to give him all of who we are so that we can live in all that he has given for us. And let's invite him into every part of our lives. And then I'm going to say, wait, there's more. Hallelujah. All right. He has also promised the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you know, I'm going to send you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, this is the reviving life of Christ breathed into us. And so that we can do that, because we can breathe the reviving life of Jesus into us. Oh, I missed that wee one. So this is just another little transaction happening here. And this is one that I felt like, yeah, God has done for me. Instead of your shame, there shall be a double portion. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their lot. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess a double portion. They shall have everlasting joy. And I believe this is the testimony that God has given me, even that as I invited him even into my shame, the stuff that I thought was bigger than, I don't know why I thought that, in my head, for some reason, I thought that my shame was bigger than what Christ did on the cross. But then God showed me that's what I was thinking. I didn't realize that I was thinking. And I was able to invite him into that and actually see that thing no longer have a hold on me. And now it's like there's a new joy that's come into my life because of the work that I believe that God has done in my life. And so let's invite him into all of who we are. Now, what's next? Oh, that's right. The reviving life of Christ breathed into us so that we can breathe life. The reviving life of Jesus. Where? Into our homes. Across the street. Around the world. Into the body, soul, and spirit of communities. So, I guess that's what we want to do. We want to invite him into all of who we are. And you know, there's a prayer that I pray that comes right out of Psalm 139 of David said, you know, search me, O God, and know me. And sometimes it's like that whole thing about shame. I didn't even know it existed over my life. But just coming to him and saying, God, search me and know me. Show me if there's anything that's out of line of what the journey that you have for me, so that I can invite you into it and that there would be life. And that's what David said, so that there can be life. And this is what we want, that we can breathe out life of all of who we are in him. And so just as I close, I've got a prayer here that I just thought I would like to pray over us. And this is right out of Corinthians. This is Paul. And I just wondered, just as we do this, would you be willing to stand up and open just your hands just to God and just to receive of who he is? And I'm just going to pray as we finish. So if you'd be happy to stand, you don't have to, but, you know, and just to lift your hands to him. And just to say, Lord, we want all of who you are in our lives. Lord, we thank you for it. And so, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ touch each one of us. That unmerited favor, the favor of God, Lord, may we know it, not just in our heads, but in our hearts, Lord, that you are for us. Oh, God, that you are for us. You are for our families. You are for our children. You are for our children's children. Lord, you are for our neighbors. You are for all of those around about us, Lord. We say thank you for that. Lord, and we want to say thank you for the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Oh God, we say thank you for that. May we know your love, Lord, even today in a deeper way. Lord, not just even in our minds, but in our heart. Lord, that nothing can separate us from who you are. Nothing can separate us from your love. Lord, your love is actually enough because it's all of who you are. Lord, may we know that, your love. Lord, reaching right into every part of who we are, right into our souls and our spirit, Lord, right into all of who we are, the love of God. And may we know the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the fellowship. This is more than just talking. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit is about friendship. The friendship of the Holy Spirit. The communion together and the participating with the Holy Spirit. God, that you chose us that we would walk with you. Oh, God, may we know the fellowship and the friendship of the Holy Spirit. Lord, each and every day, Lord, that we would know what it is to walk with you, to talk with you along this road, along this journey. Oh, God, so today, We surrender ourselves afresh to you. Lord, that you would be Lord of all our lives, every part of who we are. Lord God, and if we've got stuff that we've stacked away or stashed away in boxes because we don't want to look at it, Lord, that you would show us. Lord, that we can be all who you want us to be. Lord, that we would know and walk and live in all of who you say we are. Lord, and we ask these things, Lord, for the glory of the Father. Lord, that your name would be lifted up and glorified. Lord, that your kingdom would come today. That your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. To the glory of the Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.